Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
But it wasn't the only incident. We find that previously you had the Danish cartoons, and most recently you had the print publication of similar cartoons that were published as well. And what we're wanting to look at today, or the panelists will be examining, scrutinizing, is the whole idea of freedom of speech and putting it into the spotlight. And we're going to be addressing, among some of the issues, should there be limits to what we can say and who should define those limits? Should we have the right to offend others? And does the freedom to insult result in a civilized society? Now, I'm going to be asking Alex to begin first, Alex Davidson. Alex Davidson is a member of the PCS Union and a prospective parliamentary candidate for the Trade Unionist and Socialist Coalition. He'll be beginning by addressing the idea of freedom of speech and from, I think, some of the leaflets that have been issued as you guys came in, supporting the idea of freedom of speech. So if I can begin by introducing Alex.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening. I'd like to begin just by thanking the Chair for organising this debate and is undoubtedly a very important and obviously emotive issue. And I come here tonight to discuss and debate this, not as a defender of the current system, but as a Marxist, as a socialist, and a revolutionary. I am not here to defend the existing status quo in any way, as plenty of defenders who are far richer and more powerful than I am. What I am here to do, though, is to put the point of view of the Socialist Party and as to how we view these questions, and we can hopefully have an exchange of ideas and move the debate on from there. So I'll begin by addressing the points the Chair raised in his introduction, which is the reason why we're here today, and the reason why we're having this debate today, stems from initially the movie that was produced and put out there on the internet, and the response that was response to that in general, and also the cartoons published in the French newspaper. Now, I'll begin with the question for Philip. I should stress that it's not something that I've seen, and to be completely honest, it's not something that I have a particular interest in seeing. And the film itself was obviously a crude and reactionary piece of provocation, and it really typifies a lot of the things that have happened, particularly over the last 10 years, with regard to how Islam is viewed and portrayed in the specifically the Western media, more specifically the British and the American media, those being the two countries who are principally engaged in the so-called war on terror. And as socialists, as I've already said, we are opposed to anything that is put out there as a provocation to stir up hatred, to stir up division between any religious groups. We're also opposed to anything that is purely published to stir up hatred against any particular group. So we have no time for anybody who does any such thing. So I want to talk a little bit about the response that the film produced. And they, across the Muslim world, and specifically the news media in this country and the United States, focused on the response within the Middle East, and the protests and the riots that erupted there as a reaction to the film. And it's very telling to me that the protesters there targeted obvious symbols of the United States Embassy in Egypt, obviously there was the incident with the embassy in Libya as well. And in our minds, what this shows is that the response triggered by the film is indicative of the burning hatred that many across the Muslim world, specifically in the Middle East, where the American government has been engaged in imperialist wars for the last 10 years in Afghanistan and Iraq, where they have been manipulating governments there for decade upon decade in their own narrow self-interest, and where they've been guilty of propping up regimes that, such as the former regime of Mubarak, that were corrupt and dictatorial and repressed the people of those areas. And the US did all this in the narrow interest of its own ruling class. So the explosion of anger that emerged in response to the film is not really a surprise. In fact, many of those interviewed in and around those protests stated that they were angry not just at the film itself, but angry at the general situation where the United States, and to a lesser extent its junior partner, the British government, seeks to continually dominate countries, predominantly Muslim countries in the Middle East. And it's a frustration and anger that is very understandable from our perspective. Now, I've already said that it was a reflection of the frustration and anger that many feel. And this has been stoked, in our view, by the last 10 years of brutal imperialist wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. And we can see that both of those conflicts are still ongoing. And the conflicts in Afghanistan, the United States has actually spread it with their continuing drone campaign bombing inside Pakistan, which has led to the deaths of thousands of innocent people, which the US has unjustly branded terrorists. And in Pakistan as well, they are continually propped up corrupt and reactionary regimes that have acted in the interests of the US ruling class for decade upon decade. So resentment of the US there and why people would want to go after US assets there is entirely understandable from our perspective. Now, what I want to talk a little bit about is also our own situation here in the UK and address the questions that the debate poses about the freedom of speech issue. Now, over the last 10 years since the September 11th attacks, there's been continually reactionary propaganda in the mainstream press against Muslims, stirring up Islamophobia, racism and hatred. And this stems from the right-wing press and the obvious racist organs such as the Daily Mail and the Sun, all the way through to the more genteel prejudices expressed by papers like The Guardian. And this is something that has been indulged in by so-called mainstream politicians of the Labour Party and throughout their term of government, and now has been taken on again by the Conservative Party, who have even the worst track record of playing the prejudice and the race card whenever they get into trouble. And as they are in considerable trouble at the moment, they are trying to appeal to their electoral base by playing the race card again. We saw that recently with their attempted deportation of over 2,000 international students from the London Metropolitan University. So the context with which we're having this debate tonight sits in the context of 10 years of what we all acknowledge is vicious anti-Islamic and anti-Muslim propaganda pumped out by all mainstream press in the UK. The question that we want to pose is, well, how do we best tackle that? How do we best organise against that? And it comes to the when it comes to the issue of freedom of speech, freedom of criticism, etc. Now, over the last 10 years, well, we've also seen not only this propaganda, but explosions in repressive legislation in the form of the anti-terrorist laws, so-called anti-terrorist laws, which in reality are just used by the government and the police to harass and lock up anybody they don't like the look of. And we've also seen the government be prepared to use those laws against just about anybody. Now, we in the Socialist Party in our international section of which is called the Committee for Workers International, have always opposed both the imperialist laws and the racism that goes with them. We see it as an inevitable byproduct of the capitalist system itself, which has always engendered racism, always engendered prejudice, and that comes from the imperialist nature of the system itself. When occupying powers invade countries, as they have in Iraq and Afghanistan, they have always sought to justify it by whipping up prejudice and hatred against the populations which they have invaded and oppressed. And it is no surprise that they have done the same over the last 10 years. And we as socialists will always oppose the bigotry and Islamophobia that has been triggered over the last 10 years. We in the Socialist Party have worked against it. We campaigned against the wars that the Blair government started, the Brown government continued, and the Cameron government continues to indulge in. We oppose the US imperialist meddling in the affairs of countries across the Middle East and Central Asia, which has always done, as I've already said, in their own narrow economic and political self-interest. And we oppose in the streets of the UK the actions of the openly racist English Defence League and the openly fascist BNP when they try and target minority ethnic, black, Asian, or any Muslim communities. We stand shoulder to shoulder with anybody who is under attack by these organisations, anybody who is subject to racist police practices or the oppression of the anti-terrorist laws. Now, for us, it is a question of how we best run a campaign to secure legal rights for all. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about now. Just to say, to address the question of censorship, censorship is not something that we believe in. Even when the material is offensive and divisive, we think that what the best way to tackle this is to actually go to the heart of why this material is produced. And this is produced because of the atmosphere that has been created over the last 10 years. The French publication that published Le Scartier, the Danish publication did the same thing a few years ago. It is all responding to a false narrative of events that has been created by Christian fundamentalists and those who seek to justify them in the United States, based on the phony idea of a clash of civilizations. This is not something that we believe in, it is something that we believe has to be fought against. And the root cause of this is the imperialist nature of the capitalist system itself. And as the crisis of that system, which is in a bigger crisis than it has been for over 100 years, intensifies, we'll see these politicians and these media people use racism and bigotry and division to try and divide working class people from each other and try and blind us to the issues of the fact that it is the system itself which is the cause of so much of the misery, poverty and despair, not just in Britain, but across the world today. So, what about the question of censorship? I've already indicated that we're opposed to that, but we are opposed to it simply because, in this situation, not only is it the point of principle, but it would be something that would just not work. And we already saw that the film that caused so much of the controversy and the eruption of the protest recently was seen by originally something like less than 20 people, but it spread all over the world thanks to the invention of the internet and YouTube and things like that. So not only do we think it is a point of principle for us as wrong, it's also something that would not work in this instance. Now, how do we actually build opposition to this? Now, we want to build a united opposition against all forms of racism. We want to fight for a society where all people are free to worship their religion in the way that they see fit, without fear of prejudice or bigotry or attacks from a physical or of a provocational nature by the media. Now, we best do this by running united campaigns that I've already mentioned against such things as the anti-terror laws, when they're used to harass young people from black and Asian communities. We stand against the police when they do that. We believe that the police themselves should be brought under genuine democratic control of communities, not that the election of the farcical police commission, the race that's going on at the moment, will do anything to address that. We believe in genuine democratic control over the police force. We also believe that in a time when we are all under attack from the government that is shredding our services, attacking our communities, laying off people across the public sector and weakening all of our rights, a campaign against racism and prejudice would not only go to the heart of much that has gone wrong in this country over the last 10 years, but would form the basis of a united campaign against the system as a whole, and there's a struggle against this system which produces the racism, the poverty, the bigotry, and the imperialist nature of it that we need to struggle against together. And we best do that by actually standing together. And now, that's why I am standing on the platform of the Trade Unionist and Socialist Coalition. We stand on the platform opposing all those things I've just outlined. We stand.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sira are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.